need somebody.
Help.
Not just anybody.
Help.
You know I need someone.
Help.
Hey, this is Ryan Witkowski, and welcome again to the Unsolicited Advice Podcast. And wow, how about the Beatles there, pretty much describing everything perfectly with those couple little lines of that song there. JR is not with us. We're having some trouble connecting, but hopefully he'll be back on soon. He's really irreplaceable, so I really want to get him back on as soon as possible. So we're going to sort of take a little shift here from how we usually have some fun. We're going to get into some more intimate things, I think. We're going to kind of backtrack and just talk about, hey, what's been going on since the last time, you know, we did a show. There's been a tremendous, a lot of things. And so, you know, just to give you guys an overview, we're going to talk a little bit about, and I'll tell you why we're getting into these things, but we're going to start getting into things like, personality disorders, like borderline personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder. We'll talk a little bit possibly about PTSD. We'll start getting into addiction and community. A little bit on psychedelic therapies that have sort of come in more into the mainstream lately. And we'll just talk a little bit about self-reflection. And this will all be in the context maybe of my story. And hopefully you guys can relate on some level at least. Or at least you find it entertaining. And we might not get into everything today, but this will be an overview. And I definitely want to hopefully dive into these things a little bit more in the future. Let's see. Wow, where do I even start? You know, before I started this, before I finally got the motivation to actually do this, I replay in my head all the things I was going to say, and now that I'm actually on the microphone, most of them aren't coming to my mind. So, just bear with me for a second. I might stumble through this. You know, the biggest theme of why we're here today is because of, or why I'm having this podcast, and it all kind of comes down to a simple thing, and that would be for me personally, just, you know, I have really struggled with intimacy, and when I say intimacy, I don't just mean with a partner, I mean just with other people in general, you know, and it's come, and it's come full circle, and it's been a key issue in addiction problems I've had in the past, and relationships, and just the way I've been, you know, with dealing with people. And it's taken a lot of really hard work to be able to come out and admit a lot of faults. I don't even want to say faults, but a lot of tendencies I have that I do need to take responsibility for, you know, as a grown adult. A lot of this stuff, I mean, this stuff started way back in the day, but, you know, as it's related to more recent, as it kind of is more recent, even before we started this podcast, which I don't even remember when it was now, a year and a half ago, I was in the process of basically ruining one of the best friendships that I had with one of my best friends. And I'm not going to say anybody's name, but she was very, you know, she's a very nice, important, influential person in my life. And despite my actions, I would say that she was probably one of the most influential people that I've been around in the last few years, and has been part of my life, and I'm very grateful that, you know, I did meet her. But I sort of ruined things in the very beginning. You know, I have a tendency to, you know, we became closer to each other at one point in time. We were friends for a long time. We became closer to each other, and just my tendencies to, you know, you can call it, you know, I mean, pushing people away, you know, and also not allowing myself the sense of like connection with somebody else, you know, somebody who really wanted to connect with me. And, you know, I really wanted to connect with them too. However, you know, there's like this, if you want to get into, I've been really diving deep into a lot of causes of certain personality issues, whether it's borderline or narcissistic or something along those lines. And, you know, one of the things that happens is this idea of repetition compulsion, which is almost like this subconscious recreation of things that happen early on in life, you know, or earlier in your life at some point in time, whether it be an attachment rupture or some sort of trauma, or those are sometimes one and the same, but, you know, sort of come to the conclusion, unfortunately, that I have a tendency, not just with this my last, you know, with her, this woman I'm talking about, but, you know, also in the past, is we tend to replay. We will aggressively, sometimes subconsciously, recreate these situations in our head, in our lives, you know, unintentionally, despite what we actually truly want, in order to resolve conflicts that happened when we were still developing as children, you know. And I'd love to get into this. I would have to write it down. I've written it down before, but I would have to prepare it more to get into that exactly. But this repetition compulsion, you know, is, and then, you know, basically, I don't want to, it's more of a symptom of sort of a trauma rupture, or a symptom of a characteristics of personality disorders, borderline or narcissism. And I'm sort of getting sidetracked here, but it really came to my consciousness, I would say more the last few months since I've been back, but, you know, in the beginning of a relationship that could have been a budding, wonderful, lifelong, just, you know, wonderful, loving thing, was basically derailed in the beginning, because I think I saw what it was, you know, could have been, and I sabotaged it. And in the process, you know, we don't just hurt ourselves when we do these things. We don't just sabotage ourselves or stop ourselves from being happy. We also stop other people from being happy, who are, you know, inviting me into her life and this situation. I try to speak more about, say, I more than saying you or we, because it's less personal, and I don't want to put this stuff on you guys, because you guys haven't maybe necessarily experienced the same thing. But you know, it causes significant, severe damage to other people too. And as I have gotten into the issues of personality disorders and bipolar, or I keep saying that, and borderline personality disorders, the pop culture and even the DSM, in the World Health Organization's definition of those things, are very misleading, and they're very black and white. And of course, it makes it easier for pop culture, pop media, to write about these things. It definitely doesn't reflect the true nature of what these disorders are, or what, and we all have certain tendencies towards these. We all have certain traits of them sometimes, but when they start affecting your life in a negative way, in a sort of a social, even a health context, and those of others, it becomes a problem. When I read about these things, it's unless you really dive deep, it's really hard to understand the full dynamic of what these personality disorders are. And we'll get into this more another podcast, perhaps. I just want to give an overview of these things. And I can tell you, in my opinion, a lot of this has to do with early childhood trauma and attachment ruptures. And the thing about it is that you read things like these things aren't curable and blah, 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 blah. And that's absolutely not true. It does take an amazing amount of attention, honesty, brutal self-honesty. I mean, I can tell you that basically what happened was, as this last relationship had come to a very painful close, at least for me, I imagine for her as well, you know, I had to really, you know, do the hard work of looking at myself in the mirror, you know, 100%, because I would vacillate between being 100% like condemning myself to the point where, you know, it was 100%, everything was something I did, it was completely wrong, and it was, having that sort of mindset is not helpful, it's not self-compassionate. The only way you can heal is through honest self-compassion, which does require a level of brutal honesty that might hurt, and it might, in the case of a lot of individuals, you know, if it conflicts with the sense of self that you've sort of built up over the course of a period of time, that's the reason that a lot of folks will not recover from these things, because if you have to challenge who you think that you were, sort of this false self, so to speak, and you start sort of cracking that open, you're left with almost nothing. And it's terrifying to break things open and then realize that there's that you have a blank slate, or you don't recognize what you see. sometimes and not recognizing or realizing you're capable of certain things, you know, of capable of a way of being in a relationship that isn't really matching this positive self-image that you might have had prior. And that's very difficult for some folks, and people will do almost anything to get out of it, from defensiveness to trying to grab more power in a relationship or in their life or be more controlling, or even some people will get into substance abuse and other behavioral addictions. It is an awful process, and you need to find somebody to help you through it, who can validate you as, you know, being worthwhile and teaching you self-compassion, so to speak. You know, how do I heal from something that is so, it seems like such a threat to my well-being that I can't even acknowledge it? How do I approach that? How do I develop the self-compassion, saying, you know what, absolutely, these negative things happened. However, at my core, my positive qualities are X, Y, and Z. Okay, I'm kind of going off on a rant here, but, you know, and the other part of that too is not only just dealing with your own self, but how do you respond to others who are, who you're in intimate relationship with? How do you respond to them, to their, I'm trying to think how to put this. First of all, how do you respond to their own separate emotions? If they're having a hard time due to X, Y, Z, how do you respond to this other human being who is experiencing pain or suffering in some way? And that's a very challenging thing. It really is, especially if you are somebody who has borderline or narcissistic traits. You know, let's say that somebody says, you hurt my feelings, Ryan, you hurt my feelings, right? Now, if you're so bought into this sense of, the false self, so to speak, and somebody says that, well, that starts that cracking that I talk, that sort of that cracking of that personality almost, right? And it's hard enough when you have to do it yourself and admit it, but when you're not ready and somebody else does it, you know, that's, it almost feels like a death sentence, almost like, oh my God, you can't do this, right? You're wrong. I could never be like this. I'm not capable of hurting somebody else, right? I totally lost my train of thought, but you know, there's what you have to learn, right? Is how do you learn to relate without feeling in danger from another person's, another intimate partner's reflection of you? Because we all hurt people's feelings sometimes, you know, when we have to learn how to be empathetic towards that. And be able to be there. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, this is also sort of this reflection of it's a reflection of sort of if you had this attachment rupture as a child and somebody told you were worthless, whether it's subconsciously or even straight up and said that, the thing that happens is this is almost like a mirror image of that, but it has nothing to do with it. You know, this adult who has nothing to do with your past is sort of you have managed to manifest a situation that reflects this exact same situation that happened when you were a child growing up and developing, right? And on a subconscious level, it's a very, very dangerous thing. So we have to learn. We all have to learn, you know, how do we deal with that? And how do we not recreate these same situations over again? You know, that's the hardest part. You know, how do I develop self-compassion and self-love, empathy, self-compassion and love towards myself, towards oneself? Okay. That's the crux of it. You know, how do I do that so I always have a base to return to? Yes, I may in the future hurt somebody's feelings or cause somebody some sort of pain and suffering, but the only way that I'm going to be able to heal that situation with them is if I have a reference to come back to myself. You know, if you don't, every effort to sort of fix that is it's going to miss some sort of human authentic connection that you're trying to make. It's sincere, right? Your attempt to want to fix it is sincere. It is, there is a sense of empathy in people with borderline and narcissism. I no matter how much I read that stuff, I don't believe it, at least in the pop culture definition of empathy. So that's one issue. That's one thing. We're about 15 minutes in right now. So I'm going to try to wind us up in about 15 minutes or so too. And so that's an issue we'll get into is recovering from a personality disorder, identifying, recovering, and then learning how does this reflecting in my relationships, how has it hurt them, and how can I learn to self-reflect a little bit more, right? How can I acknowledge things in my past that might have led to this, right? How can I see how certain dynamics I've created in my current life are just reflections, are just simulation, reflections of the past, right? How do we get out of this awful cycle of repetition compulsion? Nobody wants to be there, you know. And the fact is, you know, in retrospect, I can describe it like this. At the time I was going through it, I was really trying my hardest, and I couldn't figure it out. And I think my partner was also trying to figure some things out, but the dynamic was not one that could have done it at the time, unfortunately. I don't know. In retrospect, things always make more sense. Sometimes, but you know, I've tried to put the puzzle pieces together over the last few months here, and you just drive yourself crazy. It's really difficult sometimes, but I digress on that. So we'll talk a little bit about those things and try to get outside of the pop culture or just the regular general information that's out there on these relationship issues, because then you start talking about things like trauma, you start talking about things like PTSD, you start talking about things like domestic violence and emotional abuse and sometimes physical abuse, and so it gets very mixed up in attachment theories and all that fun stuff, and it gets very mixed up and clouded. So maybe we'll try to break it down into small pieces. So then the other thing I talked about was, you know, how do we, that also ties a little bit into, and I'll just touch briefly on this, is the idea of addiction. Addiction to, not to say substances are not addictive. That's a whole other topic too, but addiction as it relates to the inability to create intimate connections. You know, there's studies where, you know, they put these mice in cages and they have like a water bottle full of cocaine or heroin, and the mice are by themselves, the mouse is by itself, and it just keeps hitting this lever until eventually kills itself from whatever drug they've put in this thing. However, what they don't tell you is that when they give the mice either other mice or other activities at different environments, the amount that these mice actually hit this lever decreases substantially, right? So we can maybe correlate, right, that one of the reasons for addiction, one of the primary reasons for addiction, could very well be this lack of connection, a lack of intimacy in somebody's life, right? And, you know, trying to create that through the use of drugs and alcohol, or trying to cover up the pain associated with feeling alone or feeling outside or whatever you want to call it. So there's a lot to be said about that. And in the field of addictions in general, people are starting to realize, researchers, that it's not the drugs themselves that are addictive. You don't smoke crack or take heroin once and become automatically addicted. Okay, there's lots of other factors that come into play there. And one of them definitely has to do with sort of the community, relationship with oneself, and as well as relationship with others. You know, what does that look like? You know, is it I think you get the point. We'll talk more about that as well. And then the other thing that's been coming up, and there's an organization called MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies, MAPS.org, if you want to check them out. There's plenty of NYU, UCLA, Carnegie Mellon University. I want to say university in Australia too. I don't remember though. All doing have in some phase 3 trials for some psychedelic drugs, or phase 2. The point is that what we're finding is that psychedelics, entheogens, things like psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, ayahuasca, MDMA, LSD, ibogaine, peyote, things of these natures drugs of these natures are being studied very scientific, very rigorously, to understand how can they be used, and not as a medicine to cure something, but as a therapy, right? As a therapy to help individuals recover from things like addiction, trauma, end-of-life anxiety. Those are three of the main ones. Smoking cessation is even used for that. So my experience was I was able to have an experience. I'm fortunate where I was able to have also with the use of therapy, so I could sort of start integrating the experience into my life. And I had a good set and setting. I was in a very safe environment. It wasn't used recreationally. It was used strictly as a therapeutic tool. But I was able to have experience with psilocybin mushrooms. I've never ventured down that road before, but I was, and I'm not going to get into it now, but it was an experience in which I can honestly say that it was a huge springboard. It was like 10 years of therapy in 4 or 5 hours, where I was able to start understanding the idea of self-compassion, of understanding where, of being able to accept fault in things without condemning myself, right? Without really beating myself up over it, but acknowledging things about myself, saying, oh yeah, I probably played a huge role in this, and why was that? But then being able to take a really hard look at myself through therapy, through sharing with people, through journaling, through all these other things, right? And it gave me sort of this, it helped me understand self-love and self-compassion. It's the only thing I can tell you about this experience right now. Well, again, later on, maybe I'll have a separate podcast on it. But, truly remarkable. And again, it's like 10 years of therapy. I don't know, I could have been in therapy for I don't know how long before I was able to finally identify and feel what self-compassion and self-love feels like. And I can tell you that having those things gives you a completely different perspective on your relationships, right? It doesn't, cure relational problems you might have, but it certainly is a therapy. It certainly opens your eyes to how to be different, right? It helps you ask the right questions without feeling like you're threatening yourself or putting yourself down, okay? So there's a lot to be said there as well. And, we'll also just talk about, I think it's going to be also important to talk about just another topic will be just therapy in general. How do we go about wanting help, and what should help even look like nowadays? One of the biggest things I've sort of realized over the last few months was, you talk about psychiatric medications, and we talk about different kind of therapies, and my background isn't counseling, sort of ironic considering, the amount of issues that I'm admitting to a lot of people right now, but which is, most people who get into the field of mental health care are like wounded healers themselves, so they kind of have to go to this crucible sometimes. So how do we, so we have all these different things to think about, all the stuff in the media, mental health care this, mental health care that. You go on Google, you can get lost in it. And, the fact is, sometimes people just need a hug. I was actually recently out of the country, and I got a chance to visit a psychiatric hospital, and I got just talked my way in there a little bit, and I got to talk to the director, and it was in a poor country, and I got to talk to them, and we were talking about, hey, what are common diagnoses in the U.S. and in other parts of the world, and talking about different treatment modalities and blah 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 blah. And eventually we both kind of laughed because I said, and we both sort of hinted at this, but I said, the fact is sometimes when people are having a hard time, they need a place to go where they can relax, they can feel safe, and somebody will just be there to give them a hug and listen to them. And, I've heard this before. Actually, one of my dear friends is somebody who sort of introduced this to me and from the past. And, in fact, the woman I was speaking about earlier, but I finally could feel it. I can feel how that, I got it like in its intrinsic level, for a change. That's really what a lot of individuals need sometimes, is just that. And that would be the most therapeutic thing, just to have that available 24/7. And the sad part is, yeah, I'm not the only one who has intimacy problems. I think as a culture, we have an intimacy problem. And yeah, so, you know, we'll talk about those things a little bit, and, you know, I can get into, you know, just, it's just been a painful process the last few months, you know, and so a lot of grieving of myself, parts of myself, grieving about people I've lost in the past that, you know, I wish I could talk to again, but, you know, maybe it's too late for that. And, you know, having to come to terms with that, you know, I don't have control over those things, but I do have control over not making the same mistakes again. And that's going to be something that we kind of be a common theme, you know. You don't live in the past anymore, you know. We have a choice to live daily. You know, the past happened, but we can't let that happen. Whether it's a trauma you experienced as a child, or whether it's mistakes you made, or if somebody else harmed you, it's hard. It's a fine line between, you know, compassion, acknowledgement, grieving, acceptance, and then having just this process to go through to move forward. But you know, you can't forget the past. It becomes part of you. You have to sort of learn to, and I don't know if you can learn it. It just sort of happens if you have the right setting to integrate it as you move forward into your life. And it can be very challenging sometimes. But yeah, I think that's going to be a good start for us. And hopefully I talked enough about some of these things to be able to introduce, to keep you interested, but you know, to maybe open up some good topics for the future. When I got to travel a little bit, it was very interesting. I got to learn a lot about some more political issues, such as the idea of being in a place where I was the only Caucasian person anywhere, you know, to the point where I got to experience and see the idea I got to see in my own life what white privilege is all about, and especially being a white, fair-skinned male. I got to see it firsthand. I got to hear other people's perspectives of our culture over here. I got to see, you know, what really poor countries look like. But at the same time, realizing even poor countries, people still have really wonderful, fulfilling lives, you know. You know, I got to see patriarchy in the flesh. I got to see it. I got to see it in place. I got to see how it's integrated into cultures even more so than it is here. You know, again, that idea was introduced to me by that same friend I talked to you about before, but I've been really interested in it. And, it just, you know, I had this guy tell me, I was talking to this guy, and he said, all white people should visit a country with only brown people in it at one point in time. Because he said, you know, this is how most of the world lives. Most of the world lives, you know, in this sort of environment, in this sort of setting. You know, things like, you know, I'll get into it later, but, you know, getting used to the power going out, and, you know, a lot of pollution, a lot of garbage, you know, lower wages, you know, sort of lower quality of life being the norm, lack of resources such as education, water, electricity, internet, things like that. They sort of, you know, take for granted sometimes, especially here. But anyway, it was a life changing experience. It was enlightening. Got me thinking a lot about a lot of different things. So, you know, maybe I'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah. Maybe we can integrate that into some of the other talks about the mental health care stuff. But anyway, it's been almost 30 minutes. Hopefully you managed to stick through that. I pretty much rambled on by myself. Yeah, I will be doing a weekly show, and hopefully JR, him and I can connect again. It's been really busy, and we can sort of get that going again. But anyway, thanks again, everybody, and I will talk to you all soon. Take care of yourselves. Bye.
I need somebody,
help,
not just anybody,
help,
you know I need someone.